Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
On the second Sunday of this month, I talk with you from the subject, I've got to get to Jesus. This message was taken from John chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. The Bible told us that Simon Peter, Thomas also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, better known as James and John, and two other disciples were together by the Sea of Galilee. The Bible told us that Simon Peter told the other disciples, "I'm going out to fish." And the Bible says that they all chimed in and said, "We'll go with you." I ask you to notice with me the first two disciples who are named in that text, Simon Peter and Thomas. And I told you that I believe that there was a reason why Simon and Thomas were identified first and second in the text. I told you that there is a valuable lesson that we can learn. And the lesson was, just because you may have messed up in the past doesn't mean that the rest of your life is over. Yes, Peter denied Christ and Thomas doubted Christ. But guess what? They still were disciples. Even though they messed up in their past, they eventually got it together. And I reminded us that none of us are perfect. None of us have dotted every I and crossed every T. And the Bible says it like this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The second lesson that I shared with you was, just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that you are disqualified from positively influencing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told you, you need to let your mistakes be a witness to others that God can and will restore you even when you mess up. The Bible told us that they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. The disciples fished all night long, but they caught not a thing. And I imagine that the disciples were frustrated and worn out after fishing all night with no positive results. And I asked the question, has anybody here ever toiled hard to accomplish something and it seemed like all of your toil was in vain? But then I reminded us that God knows what's best for us and that He will allow His will to be done in our lives. The Bible told us that early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. And Jesus calls out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And they answered, "No." And I suggested to you that since Jesus is all-knowing, He already knew that they didn't catch any fish. And I told you that when Jesus asked a question, it's a setup. Jesus was about to challenge his disciples to put their faith into action. Now remember that the Bible tells us that they didn't recognize him. But Jesus tells them to drop their net on the right side of the boat and they would catch some fish. And I said to us that some of us have missed our blessing because we refuse to listen to our godly person's advice. And some of us are too stubborn and too hard-headed to listen to some good advice. Well, the Bible said that the disciples listened to Jesus' words, dropped their nets one more time, and the Bible says when they dropped their net, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And the disciple John, seeing the supernatural move of God, says to Peter, it's got to be the Lord. And the Bible says that as soon as John said to Peter, it is the Lord, that Peter does something radical. He puts his outer garment on and jumps into the water and swims to Jesus. In essence, Peter says, I've got to get to Jesus. And I won't let nothing stop me from getting to Jesus. I'll do what others refuse to do to get to Jesus. And so today, I want to continue our journey into John chapter 21. And with this usually being Youth Sunday, I want to, with your permission, to try to speak to our youth today. Can I do that? I want to lift for your and their consideration the subject. Are you in the habit of comparing yourself to others? First of all, let me define the word comparison. Webster's dictionary defines comparison as the representing of one thing or person as similar to or like another. The act or process of comparing. But then, Dr. Hagee, I found another definition of comparison that I want to share with you. Comparison is determining where I am based on where everyone else is. Let me say that again. Comparison is determining where I am based on where everyone else is. In the verses that precede our selected scriptural text for today, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples twice. Jesus appears again to his disciples by the Lake of Galilee. And the Bible says he performs a notable miracle. The disciples have been fishing all night and caught nothing. And Jesus tells them to drop their nets on the right side of the boat, and they would catch some fish. The Bible tells us they obeyed Jesus' word, and they caught 153 fish in their net. Peter finding out from the disciple John that the brother on the shore was Jesus, jumped into the water and swam to Jesus. Now, when Peter gets to Jesus, he discovers that Jesus has fixed breakfast for his disciples. Somebody say he fixed breakfast. Jesus tells Peter to go and get some of the fish that they caught and add them to what he already had prepared. And after eating breakfast, Jesus appears to focus his attention on Peter. And he asked Peter three times, does he love him? No doubt, Peter was extremely disappointed in himself for his gross failure and perhaps wondered what Jesus really thought of him. Remember that prior to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, that Peter publicly denied Jesus three times. And in this text, Jesus is offering restoration to Peter. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad that you and I can be restored after we have messed up with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he wants to put us back into a right fellowship with him, even after we have sinned. After Jesus restores Peter, Jesus tells Peter what the future held for him. He says to Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus was telling Peter that he would die a martyr's death. And if you're a student of the Bible, you understand that the Bible informs us that Peter was crucified upside down. This brings us up to our selected scriptural text for today. The Bible says that after Jesus predicted how Peter would die, it seems from the context of the text that Jesus got up and began to walk away from Peter. But then he turns and says to Peter, follow me. When Peter began to follow, Peter turns around and sees the disciple John following them, and he says to Jesus, Lord, what about him? In other words, Peter is saying to Jesus, You have told me what is going to happen to me. But what I want to know is what about him? Is he going to die a martyr's death also? Jesus, I want to know what is going to happen to John. If I am going to have to go through hardship, I shouldn't have to go through it by myself. Peter, in essence, is saying to Jesus, it's not fair to me if John doesn't have to go through anything. Why, Jesus, does John get a pass? I'm not as bad as John is. I'm smarter, brighter, prettier, handsomer, more spiritual, and even possibly more likable. My brothers and sisters, what is so interesting about this text is that it reveals that Peter was a lot like many of us. Look at his immediate response. Jesus had just told him how he was going to die. Yet the first thing he wants to know is what's going to happen to John. What, New Providence and friends, was Peter's motivation in asking this question to Jesus? Maybe, just maybe, Peter couldn't stomach the thought that he would be the only one to die as a martyr. And my brothers and sisters, y'all know what it said. Misery. Yeah. And come on, let's be honest. Don't sometimes we feel a little better when we know that we're not the only ones suffering or going through something? Am I right about it? Some of us take comfort in the fact of knowing that other folks' experiences serve as an excuse for us not to do anything about our own experiences. Let me explain it like this. There are many people in the church who don't do simply because other folk don't do. Why is it mighty quiet in here? When they are confronted about the neglect of their duty, they quickly say, well, the deacons, preachers, and other leaders are not doing it either. What are you saying, Pastor? Stop comparing yourself to others, because you are going to have to give an account to God for yourself. Yeah. Dr. Hege, why do we compare ourselves to others? And you know what I have discovered? We always want to compare ourselves with someone else. And you know why some of us do it? Some of us do it to make ourselves feel better than others. Can I talk to y'all today? Some of us, as long as we have I in the front, as long as we feel that we are superior to others, we feel good about ourselves. Why also, Pastor, do we want to compare ourselves with someone else? Some of us do it to justify our own actions and our behavior. But notice, young folk, how our Lord responded to Peter's inquiry. Jesus says to Peter, can I use our language today? Peter, what does it matter to you? All I asked you to do, Peter, was to follow me. In other words, what I'm saying to you, Peter, is mind your own business. Lean over to your neighbor, I give you permission, and say, mind your own business. I'm bringing the sermon to the close. What does the Bible say about comparing ourselves to others? The Bible says when we compare ourselves to others, it can lead to self-deception. Galatians 6, 3 and 4 says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to somebody else. Somebody say, it leads to self-deception. What else, Pastor, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, comparing ourselves to others may be an error waiting to happen. I certainly will. Why is comparing ourselves to others an error waiting to happen? You know why? Because we have the tendency to judge people on solely their outward appearance. What we see on the outside is may not be what's lurking on the inside. And aren't you glad, New Providence and friends, that God looks from the inside out. And he sees past all of our facades. He sees past all of our phoniness. And if we compare ourselves to others based only from what we see, we could be wrong. And lastly, what's the Bible say about us comparing ourselves to others? Jesus says it clearly in the text. It's none of our business to worry about other folks' life experiences. Jesus says, follow me. In other words, keep your focus on him. Don't follow the crowd, because oftentimes the crowd is wrong. Live your life to please God and not to please others. And as I close, I want to encourage you young folk and some of us adults to stop living our life with the "if only I." Wait a minute, what are you talking about, Pastor Wood? Stop using the words "if only I." If only I were smarter. If only I were prettier. If only I were thinner. Oh, y'all have mercy. If only I were lighter in color. If only I was a little darker. If only I could sing better. If only I could dress better. If only I had better hair. If only I was richer. Stop living your life. If only I. What do I replace, Pastor Wood, with the "if only I"? This is what you replace "if only I" was with: "I am wonderfully and marvelously made by God. I am the head and not the tail. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All I'm trying to get you to do today is break the habit of comparing yourself to others. And know that God has made you who you are, uniquely fashioned. And that the best person you could be is the person that God wants you to be.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.